All right, so today we're on 1 Peter Lesson 2, Sunday, May the 19th, and I have a little bit of a review that, and I always try to review because we always sleep from the last time we've been here. And before I do that, though, we do have a birthday card for someone. I think Carrie has that, so I'll just have you give it to the person. And so we have a birthday coming up this week. So Kim has a birthday. And it's, what, just stand up, tell us your name, where you're from, how old you are. No, I'm not going to do that. Just, what day is your birthday? That's all I want to ask.
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay. So be praying for her and
okay,
we'll work those down. So, okay.
Yes.
We'll work on that, Paula. Okay. We'll try to do that. And we will try to get everyone's birthday, because you guys, you know, this is kind of a family in here, and so, you know, a nice birthday card's nice, especially if you can get kind of a funny one and give it to a few people. I don't know if yours is funny or not, but was yours funny?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
You did great.
Okay. Cash works for you?
December rolls around, just cash.
All right, just cash. No card, just cash.
Yeah.
Okay.
It speaks louder.
All right. Okay. Well, happy birthday. All right. And so, 1 Peter Lesson 2, Sunday, May the 19th, again, review. So I've got a little bigger review because I didn't just get everything in last week. So, in fact, this whole first page is review and more information. Okay. And so, and I kind of told you this before, I'm going to try to just give you everything I got. And it may not be a lot, but I'll try to give you information that as we go through this. And so the theme of 1 Peter, do you guys remember last week what the theme was? Crickets again? Okay, well, look on your handout. The theme of 1 Peter is how to live for Christ through suffering. Through sufferings and trials. And again, we may not think we have the sufferings and trials that other people have, but we still do. The things we may not consider our suffering and trials, but they are. Anything that keeps us, anything that's going to cause us grief, anything that's causing us tears, we suffer just as much as other people, and they may not be trying to kill us like they do in other countries, but we still have suffering going on in our life because of the people around us and things going on. And so 1 Peter was written to show these Christians back at this particular time, you know, how to live their life because of the suffering that they were going through. And so that applies directly to us today. It's also going to apply really to the people in the tribulation, because this book is going to hit them pretty hard. They're going to need the information in this book. And so, as I said before, and I think it's in our handout, Hebrews through Revelation are transitional books coming from the church age going to the tribulation period. And so we'll see a few little things about the tribulation pop up in these books. Okay? And so, but the theme is how to live for Christ through suffering. So, and there's a few things here that just, you know, that remind me of that. First of all, we're going to look at them here. Chapter 1, verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so our sufferings and our trials, God doesn't take those from us. He allows us to go through them, because it should strengthen us and help us to be what God wants us to be. Because think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Did he suffer? Did he go through trials? And so the fact is, he did it, and we will also. And so, right off the bat, the trial of our faith, chapter 1 and verse 7. And in fact, you know, when we go through trials and tribulations and suffering, you know, we need to realize that God is concerned about how we go through that. Why is that? Because we are a testimony for Him. He's wanting us to go through with flying colors. A lot of times he allows those things to happen so we can be an encouragement to other people later on that may go through the same thing. Okay? For example, there have been people that went through cancer treatments and things, and yet then when someone else they know starts to go through that, they can be a great comfort to them. That's just an example. So the trial of your faith, right off the bat, I think that's my key verse, actually, in chapter 1, verse 7. Number 2, the Christian is to follow Christ in his sufferings in chapter 2. Every chapter of this book has something to do with sufferings. So look at chapter 2, 20 and 21. It says, "For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if and when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." So chapter 2 goes right along with our theme here. And then turn over to chapter 3 and verse 14. Chapter 3 and verse 14, it says the Christian is to suffer for righteousness' sake. So let's read that. "But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." So again, the next chapter, we're talking about sufferings. And then in chapter 5, right off the bat, verse 1, it says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also our partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." So he's basically saying, hey, if you're a preacher, you are to witness of the sufferings of Christ. And if you're preaching the Bible, which is exactly what I'm doing right now, I am witnessing the suffering. So I'm witness of the sufferings of Christ as well as us. And then number 6, the Christian is to suffer in order to perfect us. Chapter 5 and verse 10 says this, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have," what's it say? "Suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." So there is a purpose that God allows us to suffer in our life. He's just not doing it because he hates us. He allows us to suffer because it perfects us. It makes us more like Christ. And so we see that all the way through the book of 1 Peter. And so, again, the books of Hebrews through Revelation are transitional books, a lot like the book of Acts. You got to be careful with your doctrine. You start taking things out of Acts. That's where the charismatics and a lot of other groups, you know, get their bad doctrine from. And so the same thing with these Hebrew Christian books that we're dealing with. Hold your finger. Let's go back to the book, the first book that I talked about. That's the Hebrew book, which is Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1. And I want you to, what is the title of the book? Hebrews. So it has a Hebrew slant to this book. So turn over to the next book, which is what? James. And James says, verse 1, chapter 1 says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the," what? 12 tribes, okay, "which are scattered abroad." Again, a Jewish context. And then, you know, we get back to 1 Peter, and it's talking about the strangers that have been scattered. And so it's a, that refers to Jews, but it also refers to Gentiles. In fact, 1 Peter lines up with the Pauline epistles more than even Hebrews and James and some of the other books. So we were seeing a transition going back, and yet looking at where it's placed in the Bible, it's almost, we're just a few pages away from Revelation. And so, again, we're going to see some things that are in both dispensations in the book of 1 Peter. So Peter's writing to the Jew and Gentile in one body, and we call that saved people. Now, if you study the book of 1 Peter, you'll find out that there are a lot of different people, commentators, different professors, teachers, whoever they are, that, you know, they'll say, no, it's only applying to the Jews. And yet, I'm going to show you that it's more than just Jews, and it's more than just saved Jews. So, I've got a few things here that I've listed out in the book here. So he calls these, Peter calls these people that he's writing to the children of God in chapter 1 and verse 14. So let's look at that. Chapter 1 and verse 14, he says, as obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. So he calls them children. He's calling them children of God, okay? And then chapter 2, verse 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We see that in discipleship one. In fact, a lot of these things we'll see in discipleship one. He calls them babes in Christ in this particular verse. And then number three here, he calls them the building of God in chapter 2, verse 5. He says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So he calls them the building of God. Chapter 2:10, he calls them a chosen people. He says, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And then chapters 4:16, just to make sure that, you know, we haven't got it nailed yet. Chapter 4:16 should clinch it. It says, if any man suffer as a what? As a Christian. So who's he writing this to? Christians. This is a book to Christians, but they are Jew and Gentile in one body. And I know you're probably saying, well, Bob, why are you making such a big deal about it? Because again, you'll find people that say, well, no, this is a completely Jewish book. And you'll find other people that say, no, this is a completely Gentile book. And what am I telling you? It's both. But it's written to saved people. Okay? And so there are three words that are scattered throughout the book of 1 Peter. And they are grace, glory, and the Word of God. All of these. And in fact, these, if you have somebody that's going through sufferings and tribulation, these are three words that are going to help them. Knowing that they have grace, knowing that it's for God's glory, and they will be glorified, and knowing that they have the Word of God. That's three things that you need somebody that's going through tribulations and problems. So, the next statement at the bottom of your handout says, at salvation, our life has been transformed by the resurrection of Christ Jesus into a lively hope. We read that last week. What is that lively hope? A born again life, basically, is what that is. We've been brought from death to life to an incorruptible inheritance that is undefiled, that will not fade away, it's eternal, reserved in heaven for you. So now that's a pretty great promise that God gives us. So we get, now look at it this way, we get an incorruptible body. How many of you are looking forward to that? A lot of times I think we as Christians are like, man, I wish the rapture would just happen today, because I'm getting tired, my body's wearing out, I want a new one. And I'm there, okay? But I also realize God's not, the timing will be God's, because God is still wanting people to get saved and get in His family. So when we look at it like, well, I just wish that the rapture would happen today, we're forgetting, hey, there are people still coming up that we need to get saved. Okay, so we can't be so selfish to say, I want it today, even though I do want it today, but I still know there's people all around us that are lost, that need to get saved. So I'm kind of torn between the two. I want the rapture to happen right now, and yet I want people to get saved. So that's the two things we need to think about. But here's what we get. We get an incorruptible body to enjoy an incorruptible inheritance, to live in an incorruptible place. So why did God give us eternal life? I've asked that question in here before. You know, God didn't have to. He could have forgiven us our sins and not given us eternal life. He could have just given us eternal, He could have just forgiven us our sins. We could have lived out our life for Christ and died, and that would have been it. But God did not do that. Okay? Christ did not want that. So why did God give us eternal life? Have you guys ever thought about that? Do we deserve eternal life?
No.
Jesus said so that where He is, we may be there also.
Okay, you're right on target. Number one, because He loves us. He wants us to have fellowship with us. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants us to know Him and to know what true life is. Because, you know, we think we have life right now. This isn't really the life that God wants us to have. Okay? He gave us and is giving us, He's already given us eternal life. It already started the day we accepted Him as Lord and Savior. But He gives us eternal life because it will take eternity to know the depth of His love for us. Okay? So, you go, okay, Bob, show me that. So turn over to Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33 says this. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been His counselor? Who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Now turn over to Ephesians 3 and we'll just add to that. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 16 through 19 says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with the might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So, it's going to take eternity just to know the depth and the love and who God and who Christ is. And what He has for us. Okay? Now let me tell you, that's deep. Okay? I don't think I'm a shallow person, but I'm like, that is a deep thought. Think on that for a while. And that's really where God wants us, Christ wants us with Him forever. Because why? He wants to show us who He is, and He wants us to be with Him. Alright, so now I'm up, ready to go. I used to kind of make fun of these preachers that had real long introductions, and I'm like, my gosh, I want this guy ever land the plane and we get going, and now I'm there. So, put me in that group. So now we're back to 1 Peter. Back on our lesson today. And I'll try to get through this. In fact, if we don't get through all of it today, we'll pick up on it next week. But 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 13 through 25. And then, again, back up and see what we can pull out of it. So let me read this. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 13. Wherefore, what does that word mean? Because of what we've already read or heard before this, right? Mm-hmm. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and unto unfeigned love of the brethren, and see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. And grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So last week we saw in verses 1 through 12 what to know. So this week we're going to see what to do. And so I like this. I like how this breaks down, because I'm just kind of a guide. I've got to see stuff, you know, to really grab it. You know, one of my biggest hang-ups is computers. And my wife is just wants to pull her hair out trying to. She goes, I have showed you 10, 100, 1,000 million times how to do this, okay? And yet, I'm one of these guys like, but I have to do it. Okay, and so I actually have to do it several times. Working in the armory, same way. You get on that binder machine or whatever you're working on, and then it goes by, you know, 2 or 3 months go by, and you get back on there and go, all right, now how do we do this again? I've got to kind of see things to do it. And so I like how this lays down, because it basically says, this is what I want you to know, Bob, and then this is what I want you to do. And that's what I'm picking up on this. So hopefully you're picking up on that too. So these are some 9 things that I'm picking up here in this chapter that I just read this morning. What to do because of what he already said last week. Okay? And so the first thing he says is, gird up the loins of your mind. Your mind goes in that blank. Everything is a mind game. Satan is trying to get into your mind and mess. Everything's a mind game anymore. And God says right off the beginning, he says, gird up the loins of your mind. So what does that mean? Basically, tighten your belt, so to speak. Or strengthen your mind. Get prepared. That's what it's saying. And how do you do this? How do you tighten up your, how do you strengthen your mind? How to get prepared? Well, you're asking good questions today, because it's just to get in the book and study it. Okay? Turn over, hold your finger here and go back to 2 Timothy 2:15, which I know you all know. And it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I will tell you this, that word study is not in most Bibles. It's taken out. But in our Bible, it says not only to read it, we are to study it. Okay? And so all I know is when I read the Bible, I have more questions, it seems like, than answers. So I've got to study it out a little bit. Okay? That's why we have a Wednesday night Bible study. That's right. Right now, I think Brian's been going through Revelation, right? And so you want to know a little bit about what's going to take place? Come to that Bible study. Learn about that. Get your mind prepared. Okay? So 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study and read the word of truth. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. Ephesians 6:14 says, to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what? Truth. Where do you get that truth? From God's Word, right? And so, let me back up where I'm at here. So stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. What we're seeing here is basically what I'm seeing is when Paul writes things to do for us to get established, Peter's doing the same thing. This is his list, okay? And so, turn your, let's go back to Psalms 119:28. I think that's in your handout. Get there. Psalms 119:28 says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. This is David speaking here. And he goes, man, I am in heaviness. I'm going through some trials and problems in my life, and I want you to strengthen me according to your word. So a lot of times when we're going through trials and sufferings, what do we need to do? Get in the book. Get closer to God. No, I've heard you get closer to God so he can get closer to you. I don't know if I have that the right way. Maybe I have it turned around. But how do we get closer to God? How do we get his mind in us? How do we gird up our loins of our mind? Get in the book. Okay? So why should we do this? Why do we need to do this? To be able to fight against the evil in this world and to get through the trials and sufferings. So trials and sufferings goes in your blank. And believe me, we have an evil world. And we have a world that would tell us everything that they want us to know. And yet, it's not truthful. You got to go back to the Bible. If you're getting your truth from the nightly national news, you're looking at the wrong place. If you're getting your truth out of the normal news, you know, the local news, you're getting it from the wrong place. You know, they sit there and they tell you, and the weatherman goes, well, it's raining out right now, and you're looking out the window. It's like, no, it's not. Have you guys ever done that? Or it's going to rain tomorrow or whatever. I mean, the weather guy hits it. How often is he right? Well, see, guys, how often is he right? I should have been a weatherman. We should all be weathermen.
You'd be wrong most of the time and still get paid for it.
Right. And it's like nobody calls them out on it. They go, oh, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's funny. I'll tell this story. Now, I am not going to make it through this today anyway. But my wife and I were on a little short vacation in St. Louis. And we turned on the news, on the TV. And the weather person on there used to have been, and this was how long ago? 8-9 years ago. And so the weather person that shows up is somebody that you guys probably all know. Katie Horner.
Yeah.
So when she left Kansas City, she's back here now, right?
Yeah.
But she was gone for a while, and she went to St. Louis. The funny thing is, I've titled her house too. It's like I've titled everybody's house. But anyway, so she's on the news, St. Louis. She's the weather girl. And she goes, we're going to get 2-3 inches tonight. And guess what? Zippo. She missed it again. That's probably why they got rid of her. And then she came back because everybody forgot about her here.
Yeah.
But I'm like, they're awful. We can't get, if you want to know the truth, you really have to go to the Bible to get truth. Because you just can't find it. Any place. And when you think you were taught right, I'm learning most of the stuff I was taught growing up wasn't right, and I've had to go back and study the thing out to find out, wow, I think we've been lied to a lot. So what do we got that's truthful? God's Word. Okay, we do have something. So we need to get in God's Word so we can go through the trials and the sufferings. And so that's number one. Number two, it says, let's get back to Peter. And I know I'm bouncing you guys all over the Bible today, but that's why we have adult Bible hours, right? And so, number two, it says to be sober. Let's see, let's get back to where I'm at. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, same verse, 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, and then it says, be sober. And again, what's that mean? Don't drink? Well, that's good, but what did you say, Roger?
Be serious.
Be serious. Okay. You just read the handout, didn't you?
No.
Okay. Here I am thinking, you're a smart dude. He's just reading my notes. I need to read my notes. Okay. Be sober. Be serious. And turn over to 1 Thessalonians. You're so funny, Roger. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6 and 7. It says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now again, more things that we need to be doing. Okay, so we need to be sober. Okay, we need to be, and you have a blank there, vigilant. Vigilant goes in your blank. And the best place in the Bible that I know of that talks about being vigilant, or one of the places I know, is in back in 1 Peter, but it's in chapter 5 and verse 8. Can any of you quote that verse to me?
I know what it is.
We know it. We use it.
The devil's like,
read that for us. Read it for us.
Yeah, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour.
Okay. So that's why we need to be awake and paying attention. You know, Carrie asked me, you know, a few months ago, she goes, why does it keep talking about we need to watch? We need to watch what's going on around us. We need to watch what's going on in the society around us. We need to watch what's it going to help us do. Number one, know where we're at in Bible times and what we need to be looking out for. You got to know something's there to look out for it, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of Christians just put their head in the sand. They're just living their life. And that's not the case, because and they think everything's rosy. Man, we're living in an evil world. I mean, Satan is in control of this thing. And if we pay attention, the world's trying to cover it up. But if you know the Bible, you know the word of truth, you'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
And God will reveal it to you. And why? So we can fight against it. Okay? We need to be opposed to it. And so we need to be sober. We need to be serious. And then number three on our list, I have, we need to hope to the end. So, what do I mean by that? Well, we need to be focused on the finish line. Now, somebody in the tribulation that's reading this passage, what's that going to mean to them when it says you need to hope to the end? Yeah, or the end of your life, or hope till when Christ comes. You've got to put your hope in God's word and in Christ, and you're going to be running for your life, because like you said, the only way you're going to get saved in that tribulation is if you not only accept Christ as your Savior, you've got to not take the mark, and you're going to have to be running. You're going to be going through sufferings and trials, because when they come out and they cut your food supply off, and it's either take the mark or don't eat, that's going to be a big suffering. And if you don't want to go to hell, basically what the Bible teaches us, You can't take that mark. You're going to be suffering. And so, man, these verses are going to mean a lot to those people. But at the same time, they fit us. Okay? And so we are to hope to the end. So what's that mean? Put our focus on the finish line. When we're going through trials and tribulations, what do we need to focus on? You know, not just the rapture. But when we went through the book of Colossians, I basically really nailed this down. I tried to. The judgment seat of Christ. That should be our focus. That's the finish line. Yes, Roger.
Talking about getting starved by the Antichrist. There's a passage in Psalms, I think, where David says, "I esteem my word more than my necessary food."
Okay. That verse will be a plus for people, for those particular people. And even people today that may be, you know, starving or whatever, as long as they know Christ. And so we are to focus on the finish line. So turn over to Titus. And yeah, I'm not going to finish today, but so that's no big deal. We'll do what we can, go from there. Titus chapter, where's my notes? Titus 2. And I'm going to have somebody read that for me, 11 through 13.
"For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ."
Okay, thank you. So again, going through those sufferings, being sober and all the things it's talking about, we need to be looking towards the finish line. Because that'll make it what's worth it. No matter who you are, if you're going through suffering and trial, what are you looking at? What's the finish line? Okay? What is the finish line? And I've got an example that I'm just going to throw out. Have any of you ever watched the movie The Little Giants? Okay, you remember that. There was a little boy. It's a story of a little league football team. That's what it is. And it's a mess. I mean, if you want to watch a good family show, this would be it. And if you have little kids and family, this is an older movie that was good. Little Giants. And I think Rick Moranis played in it. What was the other guy that played in it? Played in, the tall guy. What's his name?
Ed O'Neill.
Ed O'Neill. Okay, he plays in it. And they both manage little league teams. And so, in one of the games, they hand the ball off to this little short, scrawny kid. And in fact, they're in the huddle and they go, okay, it's a play number, whatever the number was, and the kid goes, "Well, that's handing it to me." And they go, "Yeah." So here's this little scrawny kid that kind of reminds me of me when I was little. And I'm like, they hand him the football, and he takes off. And he runs the whole distance of the field. I mean, people are trying to tackle him from all sides, all places, and they get blocked. He jumps over people. I mean, it's incredible. And he makes it all the way down. He runs into the end zone. Do you guys remember that? He runs into the end zone, and he keeps going. And why does he keep going? Do you remember? He saw his father in the stands on the other side. And all he saw was his father. And he starts running. And he doesn't really pay any attention to it. He just goes through the obstacles. And I mean, most of the time, if he would have looked at what was going around him, he'd probably been clobbered. But he kept his eyes on his dad. And he made it all the way through. And I thought, what a great example that is. And so I thought, well, if I ever get to teach some kids, I'll use that example. So you guys are just big kids, right? So it works. So we need to focus to the end. Now I'm going to go through a couple more, and we'll call it quits today. And then number, what in the world? My numbers are out of order. I just realized that.
Are we on the second three?
You know how that happened?
Need to go to Beverly's class.
You know how that happened? That's a Bob thing. And I'm like, I just now noticed that. Okay. Number two.
Which one?
I do that sometimes. I'll go, which number two? Second number two. I'll go, let me give you three reasons why this works. And I'll hold up two fingers and I'm like, I'm all messed up. Okay. So we need to be obedient children. Okay. He tells them just be obedient. Mm-hmm. And again, he's giving them information because of what God has told us. Be obedient in that. And I think a lot of times we don't. You know, I hear people all the time, they go, well, the Bible doesn't really relate to me. The Bible really doesn't have anything for me to know to do. It's out of date. Have you read it? Have you seen any of the instruction in that? I mean, just kind of going through our list here, I mean, is that foreign language? Can we not grasp this? I mean, study the Bible. Be sober. Put our hope on the end. Be obedient. I mean, just things we just, you know, simple things that should be simple. So we need to be obedient children. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. What do we need to do? Just follow God. Follow what He has in His Word here for us. We need to just take God's Word and be obedient by doing it. Okay? And then the next one, the second number three, it says, be holy. And I put down on your handout, model yourself after Christ. Christ goes in your blank. You want to know how to be holy? Try to be like Christ. Try to put His attributes in your life. Okay. Turn over to Romans 13:14. Romans 13:14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Okay? So we need to imitate Christ. We need to put His characteristics in us. Okay? That's how we are holy. Now we could make, I could make a case for this, that when we accept Christ, we are now holy. And our spiritual body is perfect. Our spiritual body does not sin, but yet we still live in this fleshly body and we still sin. And so what do we need to do? We need to put Christ on. We need to put the new man on, not the old. Okay? And so turn over to Colossians 3:12. Colossians is a good book. We need to study it sometime, don't we?
Yeah.
I don't know. When we went through that study on Colossians, I just love that book. But then again, okay, all right, okay, Colossians 3:12, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, and then he keeps going on, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Okay. Now that's in Colossians. Are you guys seeing a theme or some things here? All these things are in all New Testament books. Whether Paul wrote them or Peter wrote them or whoever writes them, you're seeing it. You're seeing things to do all the way through here. And so these people that say the Bible doesn't have anything for me, oh my goodness, I think the reason is they just don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Or they don't want to recognize it. Okay? So the fruit of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 6, I don't know if you know this. In fact, let's turn there. I keep saying I'm going to wrap it up, but I promise I will. Ephesians chapter 6. We're almost done with this point. Ephesians chapter 6, the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm just going to read them real quick, 11 through 18. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and we've kind of seen that today, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'm just going to stop there. So what we have here is the fruit of the Spirit. All these things of the fruit of the Spirit that we see it, and also in Galatians, they're all characteristics of Christ. All those things are what He has. So when we put them on, we're putting on Christ's characteristics. We're being holy. We're being like Him. So I think I'm going to stop right there because we're running out of time. And so we will finish this next week along with whatever else we'll deal with. Probably add some more to it. So why don't we stop there and we'll pray. Yes, Roger.
That verse that I said was in Psalm, I thought was in Psalms, is actually Job 23:12.
Okay.
About the necessary food.
Ah, okay. Job's another great example because he went through trials and sufferings. What did he do? He still praised the Lord. He didn't lose his faith in the Lord because he knows that he's going to stand before God and give an account. He already knows that, so he did not lose the faith that he had, even though everybody else told him, you know, curse God and die. He was not that foolish. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. I just pray as we leave here, number one, that we would just be obedient children, that we would just put your word in our lives, that we would use it as we go through every day, Lord, that we would just be the person that you want us to be, Lord. And I pray that you would just guide and direct us through the trials in our life, the sufferings in our life, that we would be able to be a witness for you, but more importantly, that you would see us go through this depending on you, Lord. So I pray for that. Pray for the rest of the day, Brian preaching, as well as taking it to the streets. And I pray that we would see great results, as well as just give you honor and glory. In Christ's name, amen. All right.